All together, we will fish. We will be fishers of men and women and children. And it's really important to understand that each one of us is going to attract different fish. Now, what am I talking about? Well, today in the gospel, I love this gospel. It is so rich. It's John 21, verse 1 through 14. Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is St. John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. Okay, how amazing! And I don't know if you know, but the next part was where Jesus, this continues, obviously it's not in today's reading, but Jesus then sits with Peter in front of the charcoal fire. There's only been one other time in the New Testament with the charcoal fire. And he says to Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. And then he gives him the keys to his church. He says, "You will be the rock of my church. And upon this rock, I will build my church," pretty much. This is the first pope, the vicar of Christ, the one who is going to take everything that Jesus tells him and build his church. And in the early days, it wasn't a building. Everyone had to worship Jesus in secret because the Jews were seeking to kill people who were proclaiming that Jesus was the Lord and the Messiah. What about the charcoal fire? The last time the charcoal fire was around was when Peter, the one who Jesus just gave him the keys to his church, denied Jesus. This was the night that he was taken, when Judas turned him over for 30 pieces of silver. Peter was standing by the charcoal fire, keeping himself warm. And all of these people were accusing him of being with the Nazarene. "You're with him. You're one of them." And he kept denying Jesus. Jesus told him, "Hey, you're going to do this. I know it. You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows twice." And sure enough, that's what happened. So this is why Jesus is asking Peter again in front of a charcoal fire. "Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. Grow my church." The Catholic Church.
What about the 153 fish?
Every single disciple, apostle, everyone that is out there who believes in Jesus Christ, who wants to share his love, who should be fishing for men, 153. You know what? Numbers in the Bible are important. They mean something. And there's a couple of different ideas. We don't know for sure, but I'm going to stick with St. Jerome's translation, which means there's 153 species in that water, and they caught every single one. So how does this pertain to you and me? I am a certain personality. God gave me certain traits, gave me certain talents and skills, and you may be completely opposite of me. But yet we both believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So in the beginning of that gospel, you saw the different people that were coming out to fish with Peter and two of them. We didn't hear their name, but we heard one of them being St. John, the one who Jesus loved. They're all a little different. But together, they caught all of the species in the water. And that's what you and I are called to do. And we can only do that if we abide by the Ten Commandments, if we keep ourselves in a state of grace, and we open our heart to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to the seven beautiful gifts, so that we can then fish by how we talk, by how we act, by what we do and say. And what do I want to kind of emphasize in that? Is for us to be bold, to pray out loud around people, to call out Jesus' name when we're in a funk or when we get angry. I've said this before, there's nothing cooler than showing everyone around you that you are not perfect, that you are trying to improve with the grace of God. You're not doing this self-improvement, self-help stuff by reading all these books. You are cooperating with Jesus, with God the Father, and with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. You are trying to respond to the grace that God is giving you. So, for example, let's say you're trying to stop swearing or something. Or let's say that you are working on not getting angry and trying to capture your emotions the minute that they come in, especially the emotions that are not good, that make you seem angry, mean, resentful, not the Holy Spirit in you. So when that happens, and you notice it, let's say the F-bomb slides out of your mouth, or you find yourself yelling at a car that cut you off when you were driving and your whole family's in the car with you, or even getting upset with someone in your family and letting your emotions get the best of you, which means you are not paying attention. You're not capturing that emotion. So what do? You say, oh, Jesus, I am so sorry for saying that word, for being angry, because I don't know why that person cut me off. Maybe they're on their way to the hospital. And I don't know why I got angry with you, husband or wife, in front of our children and disrespected you. I'm sorry, Lord. First, you apologize to Jesus and you call it out. Then you apologize to the person. Apparently, you can't apologize to the car that just cut you off because they're gone, but you can apologize to the people who heard you. Hey, kids. Hey, family. Hey, friend. I'm really sorry for being that way. I'm trying to work on my emotions and managing them, because that is the difference between a person who has self-control, between a person who is trying to be virtuous and the typical person of the culture who just goes by the whim of their emotions. And then we can say, Lord Jesus, please help me to not do this again. So what does that do to someone who's looking at you or in your car or with you when you drop the F-bomb or whatever? They see that you are not perfect and you're working on yourself. And you've humbly admitted to everyone that what you did was not right. And then you are calling out, first you're calling out and apologizing to God, then you're apologizing to them, and then you are leaning on God to say, help me not be this way. The people that are watching you and living with you and watching this now know that this is what you're working on. So what have you automatically done? You've made yourself accountable. And they will now be paying attention to how you act in the future. And that, my dear friends, will also be in the back of your mind. I don't want my kids to see me like this anymore. I don't want my husband to take my wrath, right? Because I didn't control my emotions. This is how Satan messes with us. We could be judgmental, you know, maybe even if it's in a good way. Maybe someone isn't living a very godlike life or virtuous life, and we feel justified in it. But that's not what God says. He says, love people where they are at. Don't try to change. I mean, you can try to change them, but we need to love them to the change. We don't chastise them to the change. You know what I mean? And that's tough, especially when you have people living a way that you are just like, what are you doing? I always look at myself and say, Lord, you've done miracles in my life, how I used to live. And then I pray for the Lord to do miracles in these people's lives. I give it to him. Every single one of us has to be out there living our faith, speaking about it, calling out ourselves when we're not being loving and charitable. And that could mean to ourselves too. We may be not happy with what we've done. And then we get all down on ourselves and, you know, feel like I'm never going to change. This is never going to happen. And that isn't bringing people to Jesus through your humility and through your dependence. I think too often everyone in this culture, and I'm talking worldwide, is all about independence. And the more that we can show that everything in our life is because of God, when we thank God for our blessings out loud. I was just thinking about that this morning. And I was like, wow, God, thank you for this house. Thank you for everything. And then I'll be honest, I was just thinking about all these things I had to do. And it was interrupting my prayer, and I would pull myself back into the words and into the emotions of loving God and being humble and being thankful. And then those thoughts of what you got to do today crept back into my mind. And I just kept stopping and saying, Lord, with you, I will get done what you want me to get done today. Please help me focus on loving you right now. And I had to do that, gosh, I want to say probably 24 times at least. But I kept fighting through the distractions. I did not cast them out, which is another way that we can fight those distractions in prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of distraction, of lack of piety, of not wanting to pray because of worldly concerns. Believe it or not, those are spirits. They're named spirits. Yes, there is a spirit that says, not able to pray due to worldly concerns. That's a long name of a spirit, but it's out there. I guarantee every one of you have come across it. So we are the fishers of men. And the best way that we can reel them in or cast out that net is through how we act, our humility, and our love and dependence on Jesus. Because as the days go by, as the months go by, and all of a sudden you aren't swearing, and you're not getting angry, you're not flipping your lid at your spouse or your kids, they will notice. They might even say something to you. And then what do? You give credit where credit is due to Jesus, the Holy Trinity. Maybe you're praying to some saints. Maybe you're praying to Mary and Saint Joseph and your guardian angel and all the holy angels and the holy army. Maybe you're praying to the people in purgatory and their prayers are helping you because they can't pray for themselves. They can only pray for other people. I call on Jeff and I call on my dad to pray for my brothers and my two kids all the time. This is the community of the church and the communion of saints. So everyone, let's do our best to be those fishers of men with the people that God put in our lives in our own special way. We're all unique, we're all different, and God put people in our lives for a reason. So let's put on our fisherman outfits and let's go there every single day to show how much we need God and we depend on Him to change us and be that witness. Let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, so that we can lean on You and that we can listen and feel the promptings of what You want us to do today. Help us to live our journey in this 24 hours, because we don't know if we have tomorrow. So help us to lean on You and pray all day so that we can be that witness of love and kindness and generosity, and that we can also show our humility in our own lives, that we can't do or be what You want us to do or be without You. Lord, we now pray for all of the people who have gone before us by name, that You bring them into Your heavenly kingdom as soon as You possibly can. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, please pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Alrighty, everyone, let's go be Christ-like today. And we can't be Christ-like without Christ in our hearts and the Holy Spirit moving in our spirit and our soul. Our soul, our mind, and our body. Alrighty, I am off to Mass. I will pray for all of you that we truly be the fishers of men. Just the fish that are in our lives. We don't have to put much more on our backs. Remember, God put these people in your life for a reason. God touched your heart and gave you faith, which is a gift for a reason. So let's speak it, live it, breathe it, and only live for today. Don't worry about what you're supposed to do this weekend. Don't worry about all this other stuff that Satan is going to want to take you away from the present moment. This is where God is right now. What's happening in your mind, what's happening in your heart, is God present? And Satan wants you to freak out about your past and worry about your future. He doesn't want us to be in the moment, which is where God is and where the graces flow. So let's remember that. The tactics of the devil are so sly, and we fall into it all the time. All right, everyone, I love you all so much. I can't even tell you. So blessed to walk this journey with you. Find something more with God, soul, mind, and body, and have a blessed and inspired day.